Good evening. Let's all stand together. Let's open our in our course books. We'll sing number 16 in our course books. Number 16 in our course books.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus.
Number 212 in our hymnals. your Bibles this evening, open up with me to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Psalm 67. God, be merciful unto us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Our most high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we come to you through your blessed Son. We thank you for your word, been preserved through time for us. We thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for giving us the gospel, for teaching it to us, revealing yourself unto us. We thank you for a pastor to study and explain and proclaim the gospel. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us tonight, guide our service,
yes, Lord.
Speak through our pastor to our hearts, send your spirit to be among us. Lord, cause us to praise thee, give thee all the glory. Lord, that you would get all the glory.
Yes, Lord.
Cause us to be thankful in our hearts, Lord, for what you have given us, for everything that you freely provide, for a salvation like no man could imagine. No man could have made this up.
No.
Only a sovereign, righteous God, the one true living God. Lord, we bless and praise you. We ask that thy will be done on earth for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn number 226. 226.
Savior,
Well, we've gathered this evening to partake of the Lord's table. And it's my fault that we don't do it more often. But if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 14. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. I want to say a few things about our Lord Jesus Christ. My subject tonight is the bread and the cup. The bread and the cup. Look with me then in verse 22, and I'll read down to verse 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, and blessed and brake it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." You know, it's a blessed thing that we understand what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us, have some sense and some understanding of it. But every word and every deed that our Lord Jesus Christ did was significant. He never wasted words. He never wasted time. I mean, the very fact, you know what significant was, that he was the creator of the world. The world that was made by him. That's significant. That he was born of a virgin, came into this life, came into this world. That's significant. Then he grew up. He began to do mighty works, wonderful deeds. Gave people that was blind their sight. Gave deaf people that was deaf their hearing. Gave dead people that was laying in a grave, gave them life. So everything that our Lord Jesus Christ did and said was significant, full of meaning, and full of instruction for us as his blessed children. John 21:25 says this, "I suppose that if everything Jesus said and done was put in a book, I guess the worlds couldn't contain them." That's what they said. That's how many things he done, if they'd have walked around and followed him and all that he did. Now here's our master, here's our Lord Jesus with his disciples. They're in the upper room. One place he said, "You go and get the upper room and prepare the Passover for us. Prepare the Passover." And there he is up in that upper room, and they're doing things, they're eating. And it's the Last Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last acts and the last words and the last deeds he did are especially significant. And what he's doing is handling the symbols of his own body and his own blood. And this is the night before he goes into Gethsemane. And the next morning, they come and take him. And he's going to die, be put on a cross at 9 o'clock the next morning. So here he is in the evening, going to die tomorrow, going to be crucified tomorrow. And here he is sitting, eating with his disciples. I think that's pretty significant. Wonder how much he loved these people that he's eating with. Wonder what all he meant when he said, "Take, eat, this is my bread." And oh my. And as a dying man, knowing that his death is imminent, as a dying man, he here calls his disciples together and tells them by words and by deeds of the will and the New Testament, which is in his blood. You know, look over here in Luke with me, chapter 22 for a moment. Luke 22. in verse 19. And he said this, likewise, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament which is shed for you. But listen to this. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is on the table. On the table. So everything he did, I mean, he did it with his people. And oh my, he said down here, he said, with desire, have I desired to do this with you. And that word desire means I long to, I crave to. And that's why Paul said, I desire to depart and be with Christ. There's a couple of verses of a hymn that said, oh, on the night of utmost trial, when Gethsemane was near, traitor's kiss and friend's denial, cross of shame and piercing spear, doubt didst give the symbols holy of thy sacrifice and love, spreadeth the table for most lowly, and to pass of bliss above. So our Lord Jesus Christ here, doing this with his disciples, knowing that he gonna die, be crucified the next morning, be so mistreated. But then look what he says here in verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread. Took bread and said, this is my body, my body. You know what's called the staff of life? Bread. Bread. You know how bread is made? They'll have the wheat or the barley or whatever it may be, and then it has to be threshed, has to be harvested. Then it has to be crushed. Has to be crushed. It has to be made into bread. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, this is my body. This bread is my body. And I tell you, as we say, the bread is the staff of life. And our Lord said, you know, your fathers ate bread, ate manna in the wilderness, and are dead. He said, but God giveth you that true bread which cometh down from heaven, cometh down from above. And this is that true bread. I'm that true bread which came down from heaven. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he hath life. And I tell you, he's that true bread to come. And just as we have to have bread to sustain us and give us life, we must have the sufferings, the broken body, the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must have his bread. He must be our bread of life. He must be the one and his sufferings. We must have the sufferings of the body of Christ for our life and our salvation. And without his body and without it being broken, without his sufferings, there'd be no salvation for anybody. Nobody. If there'd only been one sinner, it would have took as much suffering as it did for our Lord Jesus Christ to save that one as it did a multitude that no man can number. And oh my, then look what he said. This is my body. Took bread and blessed it. And then he broke it. Then he said he took it. Look what it said. He took it. He took this bread. He took it. And it was his own voluntary will. This is a voluntary act of our Lord Jesus Christ. Voluntary act. Nobody made Christ do anything. Nobody made him do anything. His Father didn't make him do anything. He said, I came down from heaven to do the will of him that sent me. And he took this. It was a voluntary act. is a will of His act. It's a will of His very will itself. And you know, when He came into this world, He took upon Himself flesh. He took upon Himself a nature, a manhood, a nature, and a life that He never had before. He was God eternally, but when He became a man in the womb of that birth, He took upon Him flesh. He became a man. Oh, He kept on Himself, listen to this, the likeness of sinful flesh. You know why they couldn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ? Nobody can recognize the Lord Jesus Christ without Him revealing Himself. It's because He was veiled in flesh. When they come to get Him on Gethsemane's night, in the morning in Gethsemane, come out there to get Him. They said, "Well, who are you looking for?" He said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." They didn't know what He looked like. They couldn't distinguish Him from anybody else. And nobody else can distinguish Him from anybody else unless He makes Himself known. Mary didn't recognize Him after His resurrection. He said, "Mary." Thomas wouldn't believe until he touched His hands and said, "Here I am. Stick your fingers in there if that's what it takes." Oh my, took upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh. It wasn't sinful flesh, but it was a body that looked like ours. If Christ come into a service, any service, like He'd go into the synagogue or go in any place, most of the people in there would never have recognized Him. Never. The first day, that first time He entered into the ministry and used Isaiah 66 and quoted from it, they said, they looked at Him and said, "Boy, what gracious words. What gracious words. Never heard anything like that." And then they wanted to kill Him next. Oh my. The invisible God took upon Himself visibility in the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who inhabits eternity, come down here and inhabited a body so we could see Him. So He could say, "This is my body. This is my bread. This is my life. This is what I give." And this, He took it. It belonged to Him and He gave it freely. Oh my. You know, He said, "God hath prepared Him a body." A body. Why did He need a body? Why did He need a body? He couldn't die as God. He had to have a body to die in. He had to have a body that had blood in it. He had to have a body that had a heart to beat in. He had to have a body to identify with us. He had to have a body. Oh my. Then look what else it says about Him. He took that bread, blessed it. Then He blessed it. Oh my, when I read that Friday and looking at my notes this afternoon, when I read that, He blessed it. We could put in there, "He blessed me." Just put that in there. "He blessed me." Instead of it, "He blessed me." "He blessed me." Oh my, but He blessed it. He blessed it. His holy nature blessed that human body and nature. And I tell you what, no wonder the angel said, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Oh, He blessed it. He took that piece of bread and He blessed it. Gave thanks for it. And you know, everything He touches is because the blessing goes with it. He'd touch a blind man, He'd bless him with sight. Mary and Martha, they said, "Oh Lord, don't take that stone away. He stinks." He took it away and He said, "Lazarus." And oh my, do you know the joy that come into their heart when He come out of that tomb? Oh, He blessed with life. Oh, bless His holy name. Adam brought a curse on the human race. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as a sinless, holy, harmless, separate from sinners, as a man perfect and blameless before God Almighty, offered His sinless humanity And I tell you, up on the altar of his deity, on his Godhead, I tell you, he blessed with infinite blessing. Because he blessed that bread. He blessed that bread. We get blessed too. Then look what it says. Next thing it said. And he broke it. 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 He didn't tell them to break it. He didn't ask them to break it. That's what he said. He said, and he gave it to them after he broke it. Oh, he broke it. This was his own doing. This was his own doing. He said, herein doeth my Father love me. Because I lay down my life. No man takes it from me. I've got the power to lay it down. I've got the power to take it up again. He said, nobody's going to take it. But he break it. Oh, you know what? When he broke that bread. But you know what we did? We broke it too. And I'll tell you how we broke it. We with wicked hands took him and crucified him. He willingly gave himself for us, up for us. He willingly suffered. He gave his back to the smiters, his face to those who plucked off his beard. His whole life was nothing but an act of giving. Everything that God does for anybody on this earth, he done it for Christ's sake, because Christ broke that bread and said, this is my body. And I tell you what, our Lord, and then look what he said, and he gave it. And he gave it to him. You know, if we get anything from him, he has to give it. But you know, the greatest gift he ever gave was himself. The greatest gift that God gave was his Son. And he gave his life. He gave it to them. He broke it, and then he handed it to them. And I tell you, he gives life. It's a gift. He gives it to whom he will. It's not earned or it's not merited. He said, here's my body broken for you. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Here's my body broken for you. That's what he said. Oh, my. And I thank God. Blessed be God for giving his Son. Blessed be the Son for coming to be our substitute. Blessed be the Holy Spirit that comes and applies it to our hearts. He took it. He broke it. He gave it. He did it. He did it all. All to him I owe. I hear the Savior say, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Oh, listen, child of weakness. Oh, my. It took a gift of God. It took a work of God. It took the body of Christ to do something for us. It took his death. Took that broken body. And those folks that ate that manna in the wilderness, they ate it and died. We have the body of Christ. We have his body and we have his blood. And we eat it spiritually. We eat it by the grace of God. We partake of it by the grace of God. And I'll tell you something, beloved. We actually get life from it. They ate it and died. We're going to die physically. But we'll never die spiritually. Never, never, never. No. You can't have Christ. He said, I give unto them eternal life. When he gave them that bread, he said, this bread is my life. This bread is me. This bread is me. It's me. It's me. And oh my, then look what he said in verse 23. Now the blood, the cup, a symbol of his blood. Oh my. And he took the cup. Oh, my. You know what the Leviticus 17:11 says? I know you've probably heard me say it many times. It says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I'm giving the blood. In giving His blood, our Lord Jesus Christ, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it's the blood that maketh atonement upon the altar. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in giving His blood, He poured out His soul unto death. Unto death. When we think of blood, you know, I can just barely scratch myself and I bleed. I was just bending a little old box today and just ripped my hand just on a box that I was breaking down. Just hit me in a corner. Scratched myself yesterday and dripped blood through the house. But my blood don't mean nothing. But when you talk about the blood of Christ, you know what it's called? The precious blood. You know what it's called? The powerful blood. You know what it's called? The sin atoning blood. You know what it's called? A blood that washes away all our sin. Oh, my. And He said, the life of the flesh is, and He poured out His soul unto death. And look what He took. He said here in verse 23, and He took the cup. He took the cup. He took the cup. Now look over here in verse 36 over here, where it says what our Lord said in chapter 14. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but Thy will. He took the cup. Wonder what that, you know, that cup was full of wine. Full of wine. Real wine. Not grape juice, real wine. But He took that cup. The cup of suffering and sorrow. He took the cup of justice and the cup of God's wrath. And oh, I tell you, He said He took this cup. And I tell you, do you know the Scriptures tells us that He tasted death. He tasted death. How in the world do you taste death? How do you taste death? How do you do it? How do you taste death? It said in Hebrews 2 that He tasted death. You know, there was absolutely no reason for our Lord Jesus Christ to die. None whatsoever. He had no sin of His own. He was sinless. He was harmless. He was holy. So He had no reason to die. He had no reason to suffer. The only reason He suffered, the only reason He had that blood, was not for Himself, but for a multitude that God gave to Him. Huh? That's what they sang about in glory. He took that cup, and oh my, when He took that cup, and He asked the Father, Lord, if You will, take this cup away from me. And that cup had death in it. And I tell you, when death, He put death away once and for all. But He tasted death that we might taste life. He tested what would separate us from God. He tasted the justice of God from His Father so that we might taste the graciousness of God from Him. Oh my, He tasted justice that we might taste grace. He tasted wrath that we might taste mercy. He took a cup of all this. Now He gives us a cup of mercy, gives us a cup of grace, gives us a cup of love, gives us everything that's good in a cup when everything in His cup was bad, suffering. Then look what it says, and He gave thanks for it. And when He had given thanks, can you imagine? He gets up and goes into Gethsemane immediately after this happens. goes into Gethsemane, prayed over there till his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. But he gave thanks for this. How in the world can he give thanks knowing what's coming upon him? Had given thanks for his own suffering. Giving thanks for the suffering that he's fixing to endure. Giving thanks for that blood that's fixing to be shed on Calvary's cross. Giving thanks for the awful agony that he's fixing to go through. Giving thanks for the death he's fixing to die. Giving thanks for bearing our sins on his own body on that tree the next day. And you know what he said about it? He said, I delight to do thy will, O God, I delight to do. And God said, the scripture said, God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And then look what happens next. And when he had given thanks, given thanks for what he's fixing to go through, given thanks. Can you give thanks for your suffering? We ought to be as grateful for our sufferings as we ought to be for our health. All those things that God uses us to draw near to himself, make us depend on him. He does. And then he turned around and he gave it to them. What was he giving them? His blood. What was it? Is the New Testament, that will, that new will. That covenant of grace, that covenant that God made with his elect before the foundation of the world. This is my blood. And he didn't say it's shed for everybody. He said it's shed for many. Shed for many. He gave it to them. And he gave us his blood. And it's his blood that cleanses us from all sin. And over in 1 Corinthians 11, it said, Paul said, after he had supped, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of me. Remember my life. Remember my death. Remember my love. Remember my suffering. Remember, I bared your sins. I bared your sins. And look what it says there now. He told him to eat his bread, the bread, and then he said down there, and look what it says, and they all drank of it. They all drank of it. They all drank of it. But look what our Lord said back up here in verse 18, Mark 14. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. One of you sitting here at the table with me, you're going to betray me. You're going to betray me. Huh? That's what he says, you know, I shed my blood for many, many. And one thing I don't ever want to do, I remember an old song some black folks sang one time. Lord, don't let me, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. I want to be a Christian in my heart. And Lord, don't let me be a Judas in my heart, in my heart. Don't let me be a Judas. Don't let me be a Judas. And he said, there's one of you sitting right here at the table with me. You're going to betray me. You're going to betray me. You're going to go against me. You're going to go out here and you're going to say, now listen, when you go with us and said, I'll get the man that you're supposed to take. And you know what I'll do? I'll kiss him. And said, that's the one you get. And you know what our Lord said to Judas when Judas came up to kiss him? He said, why comest thou here, friend? Friend? Oh, don't let me betray the Lord. And I tell you what, and he said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. You know, in observing the Lord's table, Let me tell you what we're not told to remember. We're not told to remember him as a teacher. We're not told to remember him as an example. We're told to remember him as a sacrifice. Broken body, shed blood, suffering Savior, sacrificial lamb. Someone, his body and blood both. Blood was shed. When you think about the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no telling how much blood come out of his body. No telling how much blood come out of his body. Really, there's no telling how much blood come out of his body. When that soldier reached up and pierced his side, blood gushed out. And every ounce of suffering that he did, every moment of suffering he did, all the blood he shed, all the things that was done to his body, how mangled it was and how broken it was and how much blood was shed, it was all. He said, do this in remembrance of me, and you do show the Lord's death. By this here, we're saying, Lord, we remember you. We remember your blood being shed for us. We remember your body being humiliated and mangled for us. And Lord, we want to show that it's you we look to, not nobody else. We're looking to you. We're looking to you. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Please enable us to glorify and honor you tonight for Christ's sake. Amen. You brethren, come.
but endure in your body. We only come in living a perfect life, just and holy, as the only man that ever walked this earth and do so, being God Almighty and man. Knowing that you would take on the sin of the multitude that no man can number in that body, that you would bear it to be broken. Lord, as we take this bread, we ask that you would instill in our hearts to always continually remember that you came to be what no other could be.
Yes, Lord.
To give what no other man could give. We praise you and honor thy holy name and ask again that you would cause us to do this for thy glory. In Christ's name I ask these things. Amen.
Our most high and precious Heavenly Father, we gather together this evening to celebrate a death, Lord, the death of thy perfect Son. You made a covenant with him, Lord, and he fulfilled it all. He did come. Live a perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
And he died, one man died for no a number no man can number. And we thank you for that, Lord, knowing that we are covered by his blood, perfect blood of his sacrifice, which he carried into the holiest of holies. We are so humble. We celebrate this, Lord, for his sacrifice, forgiveness of our sin. May we always remember what he did and we could not do.
I've got it.